AthensBannerHerald.com and the Athens Banner Herald. This is the Georgia Bulldogs podcast. Bulldogs Extra. Now, Mark Weiser and Ryan Dennis.
Hey there, welcome in. Bulldogs Extra podcast from the Athens Banner Herald and Online Athens, which is where you can find all of our content at OnlineAthens.com, especially Mark Weiser's, who wrote a lot this week, given that it was a lot of mixing and shaking and all types of stuff within the Georgia football program. At least one big ad, Will Muschamp, but a little bit of signing day as well. Mark, how you doing?
Doing well. You forgetting the basketball team on a 2-game winning streak?
I forgot about them. Just haven't gotten there yet.
Hey, should we mention right away off the top of the show that we'll have a special guest joining us momentarily? That'll be Josh Brooks, the new Georgia athletic director, who come in to speak to us about what's happening in his new gig.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure he'll have a lot of great things to say about the directions that he wants to, I guess, kind of envisions for the all the programs. And I know you wrote about that actually earlier this week. He has a checklist almost, or a list that he's wanting to accomplish at least in his time as AD.
Well, I talked to him about facilities, and so the story that's on Online Athens is kind of about, what his vision is for athletic facilities at UGA. There's a pandemic that's still going on, yeah. So I don't know necessarily that you're going to see any big announcements in the next, couple months, but I don't necessarily know. I don't have his agenda, so maybe he's going to surprise. But they already have an $80 million football operations center that is going to be opening up, I think, in around April. As that gets finished up and the football program will move in there. Ryan, is there going to be a media spot for you in there where you can go write your columns?
I highly doubt it. When those things are done, do you christen it with like a bottle of champagne? Is that what they do to these things? You hit a...
That's a good question.
That's a ship, probably.
I don't know.
Obviously, we got a little bit to talk about another big quarterback commitment for the Bulldogs.
We timed our last podcast perfectly wrong because I think it was it the same day or the day after that.
I think it was the same day, later in the day. Yeah, because I was in a meeting when it broke.
Yep,
and we had done the podcast early that morning. So yeah. He made his commitment, and he didn't really do the whole shenanigans. Just a quick little Twitter post he threw up there, and that was all she wrote. And he was committed to the Bulldogs. And we'll get into that a little more after Josh Brooks and
that'll
all.
That'll be Gunnar Stockton.
Yeah, he another 5-star who will follow the year after 5-star Brock Vandegrift. Speaking of signing day, do you miss the hoopla of February, like, 3rd signing day? Calmness?
I like it like it is now. It's kind of packed in right, with bowl practices. And, this year was that during Vanderbilt week? Would have been Vanderbilt week, and it got canceled? I can't remember.
Yeah.
Was that the week after? I don't know.
This year, yeah, because it was the 18th, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so that would have been that week.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So, the hubbub of a early February signing day has gone out the window, but we're not complaining too much about it.
Yeah, I mean, Georgia's still with the top 3 class for now, and they were doing that, under Kirby back when, I guess Kirby's was his first or second class, maybe was before the early signing day. So, maybe didn't exactly reach the Alabama level this year, but, it'll probably get traded off. I know they got a big commitment for 2022 with a defensive tackle out of Texas.
Big commitment.
Bear,
Alexander, is that right?
The guy, yep. So we're not going to talk recruiting with Josh Brooks, but we're going to get into a lot of other things. We're ready to roll with that now, you think?
I think we are. So why don't we get to that? We'll get into Josh Brooks. We'll come back, talk a little bit more about recruiting and a lot of things like that. But first, let's get to Josh Brooks right after this.
All right, now joining us is new Georgia Athletic Director Josh Brooks, who's kind enough to join us here on a Thursday afternoon. Josh, we appreciate you being with us. How are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. I don't know if I'm new anymore. You know, I'm a month in. I'm old set now. You can call me.
Yeah, that's right. It's been a little bit more than a month, I guess, or 4 weeks, something like that. What's been on your table in terms of priorities to attack as you kind of settle into that AD's chair?
It was present to me before, but it's even more critical to me now. And realize early on, I think the most important thing you can do is listen and meet with people. And that covers a lot of different groups, whether it's student athletes, whether it's coaches, staff, donors, fans. So along with all the other responsibilities, one of the things I'm trying to put a lot of time into is meeting with people and listening. And, you know, I've been here 10-plus years, so I feel like I have a pretty good understanding of how everything runs here, the wants, the needs, the culture. But it's never a bad thing to just dive in deeper and really get with people and all constituents and just listen and learn more about their experiences and how we can get better.
Well, Josh, when Greg retired or announced his retirement, you weren't too shy in saying that, you know, you wanted the job and you were going to treat your interim time as as a job interview, basically. I guess it went pretty fast from the time that you were actually became the interim. But did you kind of use that December, that month long time, to really prove what you could do and kind of as your test run for President Moorhead and others that made that decision?
Yeah, you know, I was very transparent early on that I wanted this opportunity, but I didn't want to actually treat it like a job interview because I was hoping that my 20-year career up to this point has been, you know, the brunt of that. But at the same time, you do want to display to, just like I said, there's all the constituents, the coaches, student athletes, staff, administration on campus that I could fit into this role and it would be a natural fit and people could see me as the next AD here without any doubt. So it wasn't an opportunity for me to try to prove anything other than keeping the ship steady and showing that I could step into this role. And thankfully it all worked out. I'm blessed and happy to have this position. And so I guess my mentality, it worked out for that.
Josh, I know, just going into work every day, in the last month, it's dawned on you that you're running the department. But I wondered, last week, I guess, was a AD's meeting, I think, in Birmingham, an in-person meeting. That probably was another kind of moment where when you walk in the room and there's a dozen or more, I guess Tennessee was just hiring AD at that point. But what was that like? Was that a kind of look, I'm here moment?
Yeah, so thankfully over the last few years, I've been able to attend a lot of those joint meetings with Greg. We've got there are some meetings where they bring in AD and some of the senior administrative staff from each athletic department. But this was a meeting with just the conference office and the AD. So, the first few minutes sitting in there, it does kind of hit you like, oh, wow, I am the representative from the University of Georgia. It's kind of, it's a surreal moment, but. At the same time, due to COVID, we've been meeting every week for the last 9 months, and I've sat in for Greg and some of those. So, you adjust pretty quickly to that because you're just it's back to doing the job. But it was a cool moment. It's something that, I don't know if all of this is some of the things that sunk in on me yet. I've just been so focused on the job and doing the work. Maybe one day when I'm old and gray, I can sit back and look on it and appreciate it. But that is a cool moment, Mark. It really is. And I'm honored and humbled to be able to sit in that chair and represent UGA.
Well, I bet this last month or year or so has probably made everybody a little bit older and grayer, I think, with everything.
I am, yes. And that was one of the reasons I had to shave the beard. The beard was getting so gray. I think I was playing way above my age. So I think I had to bring it back down to
there you go.
Get rid of this gray.
I want to ask you about, Commissioner Sankey and the other ADs, and I guess you answered that you've met with them a lot. But so you already felt comfortable with a lot of the ADs and things y'all have to discuss about the league, and what's your, how have you gotten to know Commissioner Sankey and since you've taken over the job and all?
Yeah, so Greg brought me in for a lot of those meetings over the last 9 months, so I was aware of what were the ongoing issues, what were the topics of conversation. Through my role, I'd gotten close to a lot of the deputies across the conference, and I'd gotten to know a few of the ADs. So this has given me an opportunity to get to know some of those guys better. I've had some, the last 2 months, I've had some interactions with the commissioner and getting to know him better one-on-one. But I've been able to observe his leadership in my previous role and sitting in those meetings, and I can't tell you how great of a leader he is, and how stable he was, and he was his leadership through this fall when so many things were up in the air, and you had conferences shutting down football and fall sports and all these things. His steady leadership through this time was tremendous, and I'm so thankful that we're a part of this great conference and have the leader of our conference being Greg Sankey, because I'm telling you, he was a rock during some very shaky times, as you all know.
Josh, kind of bring it closer to home with Georgia and its fan base. And I know you're big on customer service. I think I heard you mention, you know, Chick-fil-A and Disney and those kind of, you know, corporate cultures. And I want to ask you kind of if there's one or two things when you talk about fan experience that you have in mind that you think, you know, whether it's next season in Sanford Stadium or, you know, in the future that you you guys would like to enhance.
You know, Mark, it all starts for me with just the little things, and that's just even how we communicate and how we say thank you, have a nice day. All those little things add up, from when you show your parking pass to when they take your ticket to the concessions experience, all those things. So it starts at the small little things, and then I think it grows into all the other things that we can do better and finding and challenging our staff to find those little things and bigger things that we could do better. The game presentation, and hopefully, you know, we know we've got a challenge that there may be some people across all sports who have maybe gotten comfortable watching these games at home. We've got to remind them when they come back on campus why it's special to attend these games in person. And we've made some improvements. You know, we've added to the game day experience. Obviously, people have raved about the lights in the fourth quarter and those things. We have to keep finding those things. At the same time, you know, it's ramping up every level of operations, whether it's restaurants, concessions, all those things. So those things we'll take a deep look at. And obviously, during COVID times, you know, financially, you're trying to be mindful of the budget and not just go crazy on a bunch of fun ideas. But at the same time, I will be. That's one of the challenges for me right now. What can we keep tweaking to get better? So that's something I'm spending a good bit of time on right now, is not just at Sanford, but every venue. What can we do better? What can we? What are those things? And ultimately, you know, attendance is a lot based on success of the team, the competition, the time of the game, some of the things we can't control. But administratively, we can control the other variables, right? You know, we can control how your experience and how you feel when you walk in our doors.
Well, stepping away from the stadium and whatnot, you know, what you've done with the community as far as Dogs for Pups, I think $100,000 for the need-based scholarship for a UGA student from Athens-Clarke County. Why has Athens-Clarke County, why does it mean so much to you, and why has it kind of been important for you to give back not only to, you know, the university, but the community that we all live in?
Well, this, you know, I've been here almost 11 years now. All of my children were born here. This community is home to me. I've seen it firsthand through my wife working in the school district here, my kids being students at schools here. I've seen the need firsthand, and this place is important to me. And I think what can I do to give back? This university has blessed me with opportunities, and you know, when you're blessed, I think it's important to find ways to give back, and hopefully we can create some momentum to where other people will see it and want to join in and do the same, and we can create opportunities for children in this county that maybe they didn't know even existed for them. You know, there's a stat that I'm going to screw this up, but there's a figure that every time an elementary school student steps foot on a college campus, just to even visit, their odds of going to college dramatically increase. So whatever we can do to make them understand that this is a real place and this is a place that's attainable for them, it's important to me that, you know, this is a great university. I want to have, as I said, it changed my life. I want others to have that same opportunity as well. So anything I can do to give back, to create pathways for kids in this community, is important to me.
Josh, I know you guys announced about the Topgolf coming to Sanford Stadium, and Ryan's more of the golfer of the two of us, but I think there's like 8 or 9 Bulldogs maybe playing this week in the PGA Tour. Is that in Phoenix, Ryan?
Yeah, Phoenix. Waste Management.
Waste Management.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put you on the spot. You get one Georgia golfer to pick as your Topgolf teammate. Who you got?
Well, Well, I'm going to pick Kisner just because he's the funniest. is that a safe answer?
That is a safe one. Yeah.
I mean, I love them all. They're all great. But, I mean, if I got to play with one of them, Kisner's probably going to crack me up the whole time and keep me entertained. So I got to pick Kisner. He's just, he's hilarious.
Didn't Bubba tee it up one time and rip one out of the stadium? Were you there for that?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
He did, and I was there for that. And I actually have the tee. I saved the tee from when he did that. And I can tell you, I was on pins and needles. Thinking, please, Lord, let this ball just not break anything or anything. And I'm the dummy that looked at him before he teed off nervously and said, are you sure, you know, you don't have any doubt that you can do this? And he looked at me like I just asked him the dumbest question on the planet and said, yeah, come on, man. This is,
he was like, challenge accepted.
Panicked and shanked one, and he just drilled it just clear. Way over the stadium. It wasn't even close.
How did that come about? Who did he say, hey, I want to hit one out of the stadium? I mean, what was the premise behind that?
He was off. He was coming in town for a game. It was opening weekend, and we were doing a freshman kind of teach him the cheers, teach him the traditions thing in the stadium the night before the game, where we were having like a, you call it a pep rally, and he was in town coming to the game. And I don't know who mentioned it, but somebody said, hey, wouldn't it be cool to let him tee one up? And we're like, sure, that'd be a lot of fun. And he agreed to it, and knock on wood, it went well. But, you know, I think with the Topgolf, I think we should have all the media. I think we should reserve a bay for all the media members to have, like, a little challenge.
Let's do it, Mark.
Between y'all and see, you know, a little friendly competition.
What, are there going to be nets around? I mean, is that what y'all are doing? I hadn't seen the logistics of this. Will there be like nets around? No, how's it working?
It's actually it's something they've had done at a bunch of venues already, and I don't know the science behind it, but I think there's something that they use a different ball when they do it in the smaller confined spaces, like the stadiums, so it won't fly as far, and it's not just, you know, so. They've done this for a couple of years, baseball stadiums and a few NFL stadiums now are moving to college venues. So they've got it all dialed in where it works out to where the balls don't fly too far. You can still have the Topgolf experience, but it's in just a smaller confine.
So nobody's going to bubble one out of the stadium?
No, I don't. I really think that the way these balls are designed, they don't fly that far, but it would be, I guarantee you, there's going to be somebody trying to do that minute one, the first to get up there. Again, I have no doubt about that.
Well, obviously, another topic about stadium happenings, concerts. You know, there was the one, about 6-7 years ago, and I know it was a big deal. Has there been any talk about that? And obviously, we're in a challenging time still, but would something like that ever happen again? And who would you want that artist to be?
Well, yeah, so I always joke and said, you want to upset anyone, try to get people to pick a favorite music act. You know, you can start a disagreement in any room with trying to pick, you know, one or two artists to do a concert. But I would love to do that again, and you want to find the right way, the right time to do it, where you've got these small windows between, you know, G-Day. You can't impact that. You don't want to impact commencement. You've got summer camps. So finding that right window of time to do the stadium sometimes can be difficult, but you know, that sweet spot that we found for the Aldean concert was right there between G-Day and commencement. We'd love to identify that window again, maybe for 22. And the good news is, and it's not good news, it's rough for the artists, but there's a lot of bands out there and artists who, when this thing kind of dies down and then they can get back to playing outdoors or playing at all, they're going to be playing. I mean, the tours are going to be numerous. So I think we'll have great opportunities to pick who we want. So I guess then it comes down to trying to find the right fit. And obviously, not everybody is the biggest fan of country music. A lot of people are. And Aldean and Luke Bryan were a great fit, especially with their connection to the University of Georgia and their being just being Dawgs fans. So you've got different sects of who you want it to be, trying to fit each genre. Maybe it could be a crossover. You know, maybe you could do like, you know, two acts that kind of blend together but can reach a different image. I'm always biased. I always say Avery Brothers. Everybody makes fun of me about that. Course, I will continuously stress on REM to do one reunion show. And Mark, y'all helped me out with that when y'all had Mike Mills on the show. But
Mike Mills is a friend of the show.
There's not a better fit anywhere in this in the world of thinking about a venue, a Sanford Stadium, a town like Athens, and a band like REM. Name a better trifecta anywhere than that. You know what I mean? Like, what a perfect match of all the things. So I still think, Mike Mills, if you happen to be listening, we got to make this happen, man. REM reunion, one show, Sanford Stadium. We could, you know, donate the proceeds to some charities, local charities here in the Apache community. I think it'd be a great day.
Beautiful.
No pressure. No pressure, Mike. If you listen.
I think Jason Isbell would be a popular one. It wouldn't necessarily fill up Sanford Stadium, but maybe Justin Timberlake. I don't know.
KT.
You know, you combine. Yeah, you know, you could go with a couple mid-level artists and in two or three of them.
Yeah.
And sometimes just the novelty of the fun of being at Sanford, I think you could do better with even a mid-level act. But look, they're going to be, you name it, every artist in the world is going to be touring this next year. So it's going to be. Choose
which
one you want.
Josh, I know, I think I've heard you talk about, you know, the local economy and how, you know, events and obviously football games can help the local economy. Are you inclined, I know you would collaborate with Kirby. I know you guys this year are opening in Charlotte. Are you inclined not to play neutral site games? I know there's more of a move to home and homes, and then obviously that brings up the Jacksonville situation as well.
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's a good mix of all that, you know, with the home and homes. I think anytime you can go to Atlanta, every now and then in Charlotte, creates some unique experiences, especially in a place like Charlotte where we've got a big alumni base. You know, I think you could push the home and homes are great because, you know, while you do have to go back to those other schools, what you do make up for that in those big weekends you have here, as opposed to playing a Louisiana Monroe, and I can say that because I work there, but as opposed to playing the Louisiana Monroe, where it may not be as big a weekend here for the local economy, those big schools that you bring in, Oklahoma, UCLA, whatever, you know, the bigger Power Five, makes for a bigger weekend and helps the economy here in Athens a lot better. I think Coach Smart and the work that Josh Lee and them have done to put together a competitive schedule, I think will benefit. You know, it's obviously focused on, you know, what's best for the team and what's best for our athletic department, but I think the benefit of that also is creating great weekends in Athens, which will, you know, be a boon for hotels and restaurants, et cetera.
All right, Josh, Mark and I have debated on this show about Athens burgers. Now, let's say that Sanford Stadium is going to get a burger place put in there. Where are you turning to? What's your go-to Athens burger if you had to pick?
Oh, man. You know, I'm going to have to choose my own. The one I make at home is so good, but I like so many of them. I'm a burger. I love good burger, man. There's so many good burgers in this town from, you know, golly.
Well, see, there's always Clocked. Clocked is a good one.
Clocked is a classic.
Porterhouse Grill, right down from our office here, actually has a good lunch burger, if you ever gotten their burger. It's really good. Royal Peasant down in Five Points, you ever had their burger?
That's a good one.
Top
yeah.
notch. So.
Killer Burgers. I think Killer Burgers, that is, they've got some unique ones.
That's right down from your office there.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Also might be an official.
They don't let me out much to lunch anymore. I don't get to leave the office.
Oh, really?
So I don't get Mark to do like a DoorDash, give me some delivered here.
I think that might be an official Georgia Athletic sponsor, so you probably, probably get to mention that one, yeah.
Well, there's also I could say the one I can't even remember the name. It's over on Epps Bridge. It's a really good burger too. But anyway, getting back to the serious business here. Obviously, worked for Mark Richt. I guess now you're Kirby Smart's boss. What's your observations in how they run their programs? And you know, I'm sure they're quite drastically unique between Mark Richt and Kirby Smart. But what's it going to take? You know, both have come so close against, you know, Alabama and whatnot, and almost won the national title a couple years ago. But what's it going to take to get over that hump?
You know, I don't spend my time focusing on results as much as the process. And I know it sounds like a cliche statement, but the results are going to be what they are. All you can do is focus on the process of your job and how you can make how do you, in my job, make everyone better around me. So obviously we've been close, and we've been close in a lot of sports. But my job is beyond just football; it's every sport, and it's my staff and coaches and it's my student athletes. And how do I? And that's the challenge I've given to everyone that's in this department: is get comfortable being uncomfortable. And we all have to find and do our part to raise the level for everyone around us. So if we focus on the process, the results will take care of themselves. So I don't spend too much time thinking about, okay, how are we going to get to there, more time on everything we're doing. Let's keep ratcheting up a notch. How do we find a way to get better every day and everything we do, from our ticket office to development to facilities, sports medicine, you name it. That's where I can spend my time focusing it. You can't worry and focus too much about results. You got to focus on the process of what we're doing day in and day out.
Joshua, we'll get you out of here on just one more thing. I guess I heard you were at the game on Tuesday at Auburn for the men's basketball game with a big road win against the Tigers, and I guess they've won four of their last six. Just your thoughts on where you know, the program or just the season's kind of turned in a different direction, and you know, from watching them, you know, they seem to be kind of maybe gelling at the right time now.
Yeah, first of all, I think it's obvious I'm good luck because I don't lose on the road. So I think every team out there should know to get me on the road with them, because I don't lose outside of Athens. So I think I need to be on more road trips. But in all seriousness, I think, you know, when you take it into perspective, the amount of youth we have on this team, the amount of young guys, then you throw in the grad transfers, sometimes the development or them meshing together may take a while. You know, KD didn't start playing till, you know, what, midpoint of the season, so getting him to win, and you're seeing this team grow and get better each game, and what I like seeing is just how hard they compete. I think if you watch a Tom Crean practice or watch the way Tom Crean and his staff coach, this level of intensity and the way they go about their business is really exciting, and I'm a big fan of these guys and how hard they're working day in and day out, and I'm glad to see, especially these last six games, that success, and hopefully we can keep it going. But I'm a big fan. We've got some really good kids on the team, and I'm happy for them and their recent success, and hopefully we just keep it rolling.
Josh, thanks for being with us, and hopefully maybe we can get you back you know, in a few months and check in on how things are rolling over at Georgia.
No pressure, but I expect to see another, like, Mike Mills interview soon, or Peter Buck.
We'll try to get momentum for that.
I'm putting the REM on y'all. Y'all got the power. Y'all podcast has a lot of power. I want to see it happen.
Yeah, I think if you can find someone that has some sway with Michael Stipe, I think that might be the deal breaker. So
I think that's the thing. Yep.
Well, I'm just saying, y'all two get this done. I'll get y'all Friday night passes for like the pre-show. Mark that down. Y'all can get this done.
All right,
sweet.
Thanks, Josh.
Thanks, man.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, bye-bye. All right, we appreciate Josh Brooks, Georgia's new athletic director, for joining us here on the podcast. And Ryan, I was disappointed that you limited that one part of the interview to questions about hamburgers. I wanted to know where the best hot dog was in town. You haven't talked about that. Where is the best hot dog in town?
Yeah, you know, if you go over to Normaltown, the High-Low Lounge, you ever been there for a hot dog?
You've recommended it, and I checked out the menu. I need to go buy it.
You know, I think it's got really good food. I know some people in our business, even one guy named Jake Rowe, he doesn't like their hot dogs, I don't think. He said they're subpar, but I think they're delicious.
Are you a Chicago dog fan? You like to
they actually throw the pickle on there and everything.
Right,
yeah, it's good.
So is that like an $8 hot dog, something like that?
Yeah, but it comes with fries. It's actually a really good deal. Yeah. It might even be $5 right at the High-Low.
Yeah,
you ready to go get one?
I got dinner plans already tonight, but we can do it. Let's do it before another podcast. So they do lunch and stuff.
Yeah, I'll bring it. But they also have good Reubens. I like their Reuben. They have good.
I like a turkey.
They have good Cubans.
I like a Cuban. Yeah, that's good. That's good. All right. Let's mention that. Officially, you know, the only news, the biggest news that Kirby Smart had during his Wednesday Zoom press conference, and I was surprised that he actually did anything because, you know, first of all, when we got word that he was doing a 2:30 Zoom presser, that didn't bode well for Georgia getting Terrion Arnold, the four-star safety from Tallahassee that ended up signing with Alabama, because usually Kirby would wait until after a big commitment so he could talk about him. The big news was he was asked about Will Muschamp, and after Georgia had said that he was not employed, Kirby said the deal kind of got official last week, and so he announced it when asked about it. So Will Muschamp is now a Georgia analyst or quality control guy, and getting paid a pretty penny for that job, $300,000.
Hey, what is this along the lines of? Is that like Butch Jones at Alabama? Is he an analyst that would get paid about that?
I mean, I think it depends on, you know, every program probably has their own kind of, you know, the way they operate that. I expect with Muschamp's background as a defensive coordinator, he'll be, you know, a good resource for Dan Lanning, for Glenn Schumann, for Kirby Smart, given another set of eyes, has experience about, you know, going up against, you know, certain opponents that Georgia has played, that will play, obviously, in the SEC. And then, of course, Clemson as well. And it also gives him a chance to hang out, you know, be in town and see his son, who's a walk-on quarterback, Jackson Muschamp, you know, on a daily basis.
Yeah, it seemed to have worked out well. It's almost like they had a future, you know, a foresight on what was going to happen when his son committed. Where was he committed? And then he decided to come to Georgia as a walk-on.
He was committed to Colorado State.
That's right, with Bobo, right?
No, I think it was the other coaching staff.
Okay, so it was after Bobo.
The staff that came afterwards, I can't remember. But you know what? If you Google it, I wrote about Jackson. I can't remember, though. It was about a year ago that I wrote, or I guess it was about 8 months ago I wrote that story.
Right.
But I will say this, you know, right now, I mean, Dan Lanning got a hefty raise, which we can talk about as well. But, you know, it brings a point, you know, Dan Lanning and Glenn Schumann are going to continue to be hot commodities, assuming that Georgia continues to produce on defense. And, you know, will there be an opportunity for Will Muschamp to become an on-field assistant coach or even a coordinator if Lanning goes to become a head coach somewhere else? That's always a possibility.
And he obviously flirted with Texas a little bit a couple weeks ago.
Dan Lanning, yeah. So, it, you know, it doesn't look like it's going to happen this year. And, you know, does Will Muschamp want to be a head coach, you know, at a non-Power 5 program? Because I don't think that's, you know, after having two chances now at Florida and South Carolina, I don't know if that's necessarily in the cards. Maybe he'll go, you know, to a smaller program and try to work. I mean, he's still relatively young. I think he'll be 50 this fall, maybe.
And money's not an issue for Will Muschamp. He's still getting paid pretty hefty from his buyout at South Carolina.
Yeah, he has a buyout that is worth around $13 million. So if Will Muschamp happened to be listening, or someone else is, and he wants to order some of those hot dogs for us and bring it up to the studio, we would appreciate that.
We'll be glad to accept that. Obviously, yeah, like you said, it'll just bring another mind to the room. You know, Kirby always seems to have a mind or an eye on the future. Like you'd mentioned, though, about if a spot opened, that just seemed like it would just bump him right up into that coordinator position.
Well, the other thing is, there was a certain five-star quarterback that we just mentioned that was committed to Will Muschamp. Now, I think that might have had more to do with Mike Bobo, or maybe Muschamp had something to do with that, but Bobo then...
Well, you figure he'd have gone to Auburn then.
Well, no. Well, yeah. It came to he backed off that commitment when Bobo left to go to Auburn, and then he decided that, you know, he had a connection. I think his coach, I believe, has a connection to South Carolina as well, his high school coach. So, you know.
Well, let me be the devil's advocate again, and I feel like we brought this up before. Isn't there too much of a good thing? You know, and everybody says, no, always bring quarterbacks in. But we see this every time, that you bring in a couple quarterbacks, one of them is going to transfer, especially when you have two five-star guys. Obviously, we saw it with Justin Fields. You know, Jacob Eason, even though that was kind of a different scenario because it was more like, you know, Jake Fromm just took that position. But it always seems like when you have this situation, like the kid from Jacksonville, the third string, Carson Beck, there's no way he's going to stay here, right? I mean, it just seems like if you continually bring in five-star quarterbacks every year, which is great for the time being, but it just seems like you're always going to be looking for that, you know, next quarterback to come in every, you know, that you're going to need one every third or fourth year, and then you get stuck with having to have Stetson Bennett as your quarterback for four or five games until, you know, you fortunately had JT Daniels that transferred in for the last few games. But I just feel like you're going to be in that spot every third or fourth year where you're having to go with a Stetson Bennett instead of maybe a quarterback every other year that would be ready to wait their turn.
Look, I don't know if quarterbacks are waiting their turn anymore. I mean, Mac Jones was more the exception than the rule. You know, we got to Stetson Bennett as Georgia's starting quarterback. And by the way, if the Bennetts are listening, it's Stetson Bennett the third or the mother. That was Ryan that had to say something about getting, you know, I don't know what the...
Look, Stetson did a pretty good job for the most part. But I think we all know that JT Daniels was the better option.
Well, I will say this, that I don't think Stetson Bennett or Dwan Mathis, for that matter, was the plan. I mean, as we...
Fields was the plan, and he left.
No, my point is that as we revisited last week again, you know, Jamie Newman opted out. And then, so that's why... now, which could be the point, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk to Jamie Newman about this. The only time he's talked, I believe, since he left Georgia was about 5 minutes with a media gaggle last week in Mobile, Alabama. You know, what JT Daniels being on the roster, how that impacted his decision to opt out. You know, you could be right in that sense. I mean, if they don't bring JT Daniels into Athens, does Jamie Newman stick it out, or did he feel like Dwan Mathis was breathing down his neck, or you know, we don't know exactly how that played out. But like, you know, I mean, here's a scenario. JT Daniels, let's say he has, let's just call it an ankle injury or something, because we hope he obviously doesn't have a knee injury. Mm-hmm. And let's say that they think that Brock Vandergriff is the best option to come in and start game three or game four. And then Brock, you know, what if he didn't play up to the level of expectation as a hot recruit? Then the thought would be, oh, what are we going to do next season when JT's gone? Because this body of work didn't look that good. Well, guess what? You have a five-star guy waiting in the wings to come in. It is a tough deal to manage. You know, maybe Kirby, maybe he learned something from, you know, juggling Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. You know, we can talk about this in another podcast because we're probably running out of time now. But I will say that, you know, there's probably no easy answers. But, I mean, Alabama has certainly had plenty of talent with Tua, with Mac Jones, and the other guy that's now in the NFL also. You know, Ohio State had a bunch of really talented quarterbacks a few years ago.
Right.
I think that the you know, the days of DJ Shockley waiting until his senior year to finally get a chance to start are probably gone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was kind of surprised.
Jalen Hurts was the other quarterback, I was thinking.
Yeah, yeah. I was surprised that Shockley, even in those days, I mean, he had plenty of opportunities to leave. And then, of course, he ended up being kind of a superstar by the time he was a senior there. Any more football? You want to talk about that hot basketball team that we talked with Josh Brooks for a second?
I mean, there's always enough. We can always keep talking about football. look, Georgia's going to need some. I think we talked about this every podcast since all the NFL decisions came down. They are going to, you know, and it was accentuated by them not getting Terrion Arnold yesterday. They're going to need to go into the transfer portal and get a cornerback or two that can come in and be able to help out right away. What else? There wasn't really much else significant in terms of roster news, but it's only the third day of February?
Fourth day, yeah.
We'll see. April 17th, though, is G-Day, so put it on your calendar.
Yeah, that was another news nugget that came out of that, wasn't it?
No.
They already knew that? Okay.
Thanks for reading the Banner Herald. We had that a week ago. the men's basketball team went to Auburn and won. I think they were a 9-point underdog.
I would have taken the Auburn in the points with that.
Yeah, but given the fact that they went to South Carolina and got blown out, Georgia did.
And they blew out Georgia last time they played in Stegman Coliseum.
Yeah, I will say that Auburn having to go play Baylor, which is the, you know, number one team or number two team in the country. I don't know where they were in the rankings this week. I think they're two, maybe. look, I mean, Georgia was home against Ole Miss. Auburn probably put a lot into that game against Baylor, a chance to knock them off. And, you know, I was give Georgia a lot of credit. I mean, I was waiting for Auburn to, make one of those runs and Georgia to look like a team that's on the road and not expected to win. But they held them off. And I thought Crean came up with a good plan to slow down, Sharif Cooper. You saw different guys guarding him and getting physical with him, and it wasn't just Sevier Wheeler. So he came, I think it was like 3 points under his scoring average, and really didn't do much in the first half. So good for Georgia, and to handle that.
Well, how many times in the Crean's three seasons has Georgia built up a pretty significant lead? I think 22 at Missouri a couple of years ago, or maybe last year, 22 at Florida, something like that, and then they just disappears in about 8 minutes. Well, it seemed like the other day they actually, instead of continuing that pace, they actually slowed it down just a little bit. And, there might have been a questionable attempt at a layup or so later in the game, but it just seemed like in this sense that they – understood that they had the lead. The clock was in their favor. They didn't have to rush, and they held on the lead, and they made some big shots when they needed to make big shots. So.
Look, and they've won these last couple of games with KD Johnson really not playing, at the same level he did earlier, when he first got eligible. So I guess that bodes well. I think they had five or six guys in double figures the other day, and their turnovers were way down. They had 13 this game, and then they also out-rebounded Auburn. So.
And hit three-pointers, which they hadn't. P.J. Horn hit a few, and that had been missing from the arsenal.
Well, I think Georgia's like 10th in the SEC maybe in three-pointers made or three-point percentage. So they have it some games. They don't have it other games. They certainly didn't have it at South Carolina. Vanderbilt's coming to town. Saturday game has been pushed back from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. because the Texas A&M-Arkansas game is postponed because of Texas A&M's COVID issues. So I guess they wanted to fill that time slot. I think they already had a noon game maybe. So instead of having SEC games, maybe there was a window now at that 6 o'clock spot where there wouldn't have been an SEC game. They like to kind of roll out starting at like 12 or 1 and then rolling through like, I don't know, is it like 10 o'clock at night where they have mm-hmm. basketball games all day? So, mm-hmm. Vanderbilt's only has one SEC win, but it was their last time out. So Georgia should handle that. They should go to Texas A&M if that game gets played with like we mentioned, their COVID issues. This is Georgia's best chance to kind of stack up some more wins. And
Well, when Georgia loses by 40 or 30, what was it at South Carolina? And then Vanderbilt beat South Carolina on Saturday. You kind of think, Georgia can never look past anybody.
I'm sure the teams that are playing Georgia look at it the same way.
Exactly.
This is our chance to get a win. Ron, I know you're going to be at the game. You're going to be cheering. Oh, wait, you're not going this time?
No. I'm probably going to stay low. I've been around too many people lately. I'm going to just sit at home and watch it.
Where you been? What do you mean?
Yeah, just, out in public too much. Need to get back in my quarantine ways.
I mean, you've always been a very social person.
Yeah, right? I know. That's why it's killing me this past year, but I've done pretty good. Hey, would you buy tickets to see REM in Sanford?
I've talked about it before. I've seen REM before.
I know you've seen REM, but you haven't seen them in Sanford.
Look, it's not happening, so I'm not really worried about it.
Well, apparently it's on us to make it happen, and the pressure's on.
All right, I'm going to say, Michael Stipe, if you're listening, I know you're not, but if you are, we're going to come up by the next time. If all you need to do is either, I don't think, is he on Twitter? I don't know if he's on Twitter. Just text us, post on our Facebook page at the Banner Herald, and we'll come up with an entire set list for the next concert at Sanford Stadium. I'm just saying, I think if they did have REM, they'd have to open with the Orange Crush, wouldn't they?
Why?
It's just like it's a rock out song.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot they could start off with. I was always a what's Frequency Kenneth fan myself.
Hey, it's good to know that Josh Brooks did not mention Dave Matthews as even a group he'd want to have at Sanford Stadium. So
I was a little bummed.
So I know that's Ryan's favorite, and looks like our athletic director.
I'd have a better chance of getting them into Sanford than I would REM. I guarantee you that.
The athletic director of Georgia's, looks like it's a little bit more on top of the music scene than Ryan.
I'm taking that as an insult. We're getting out of here on that note.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next. next week, and everyone have a great weekend.
All right. See you guys.